All right, welcome to another episode of Scientology Fair Game, the podcast. Oh my God, that was so good. That was
wow.
So professional. That was so professional.
You could be a voiceover talent.
No, because, you know, when people call my house, they say, hello, sir. I go, I don't even say anything. I just go, yes. What are you selling? I don't even correct them.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, honey. How are you, Mikey?
You are absolutely the sexiest man I know.
Ooh, I'll take it. Thank you. A gal slash guy has to take their compliments when they get them. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Very welcome.
We have a wonderful guest with us, returning guest.
Yep.
It's so funny because our family and friends are constantly texting us, writing us emails, going, hey, I want to come back on the podcast to talk about blah, blah, blah. It's like
right.
Every person that we've had on, we could have 20 times on and still wouldn't get all the information there is to expose about Scientology.
True. True that.
Endless troves of nonsensical garbage.
Correct.
Hi, Julian Wayne.
Hello, Mike.
Well, he truly is family.
Oh, I know. And newly reconnected with our family. I mean, it's just, this is, people ask, like, are there success stories? They get tired. There's so many. Some people don't want to share, understandably so. But Julian, Catherine, our family, and we were disconnected for 6 years. And they've finally left the Church of Scientology and are living their lives. And we are anxiously awaiting an in-person reconnection. I know. To spend the holidays together, as we always did, right? As we have for many, many years.
Can't wait.
Okay, let's talk about what we're talking about today, which is what? One of Scientology's many front groups, this one called WISE. What does that stand for? Anything?
The World Institute of Scientology Enterprises. And just to give you a little background on this, because it's not a story that many people know, I happened to be around at the time when Hubbard created the World Institute of Scientology
Enterprises. Oh, were you, Mike? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I don't know if a lot of people know that, too, that, Mike, you knew L. Ron Hubbard. I mean, you told me that we were on the aftermath when we were eating lunch, and I was like, what, Mike, I don't think I knew that.
Oh, yes. I definitely knew old man Hubbard.
Has he come to visit you? Because he's supposed to be back, by the way. Well, he probably wouldn't.
He has not popped in yet. Okay. I'm sad to say.
But you also are now an SP, Mike. I don't know if he will be visiting you when he comes back.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, so how did you, so tell us about WISE.
Okay, so WISE today is the umbrella organization under which Scientologists peddle L. Ron Hubbard's administrative technology.
What does
this
that mean?
This is the writings of Hubbard about how you go about administering or the operation of Scientology organizations, which he claimed are the sort of laws of all business, all organization, all things that require, you know, money and marketing and operating and running an activity. However, that really is only what WISE evolved into. It originally began with Hubbard being upset about Scientologist businessmen stealing people he called his staff members and preying on Scientology organizations to get their business. Like, there were a lot of Scientologists that had businesses that were like house cleaning businesses, and they would go and get staff members of Scientology organizations and have them moonlighting for them in these little businesses of theirs. And Hubbard got upset about this, saying that they were stealing the loyalty of Scientology staff and attracting them away from being staff members in Scientology organizations, where, just as a note, they couldn't make enough money to live on, which was why they had to have another job.
Right.
He created WISE literally to get Scientology businesses off the backs of orgs. And the way that this was to be done was any Scientologist who had a business that used any of the Hubbard technology had to sign a license to use that and pay a royalty to Hubbard for the right to use Scientology technology in their business.
Wow.
And by doing so, that allowed Hubbard to control, or the organization, to control those businesses through these license agreements. So that was how WISE started. It did not start as a way, as they promote it now, of getting L. Ron Hubbard's business management technology out into the world. It was prevent Scientologists from ripping off Scientology organizations through their businesses. And today, it has developed into a way for Scientologists to make money by peddling this technology, quote unquote, of L. Ron Hubbard to sell to people and then to attract them into Scientology and collect FSM commissions.
Which is what? What is an FSM?
This is a commission for payments made by someone to buy something from Scientology. Everybody who is a Scientologist
is
also an FSM, which stands for a field staff member, and they collect 10% of any monies that someone pays into Scientology for services or donations or whatever. So this has become a relatively lucrative business for Scientologists to become what are known as WISE consultants.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to talk to Julian about today, because he, not only did he work at Delphi, he worked in these two of these WISE business consulting companies.
As a consultant.
Yes, a highly trained specialist in
overly
the field.
Qualified consultant.
So, Julian, take me through this. So, you were a WISE consultant. What does that mean exactly? What was your task?
Great question. A loose term for somebody who I think tries to use the same kind of like standardized Scientology technology, quote unquote technology, in a business world, as if you would do it in like inside the church at an organization or in the Sea Org or whatever. So like a mini version of that same kind of, an exact same kind of road plan, the same kind of tactics to try and basically take businesses and make them more lucrative to then make them pay more money to the organization, which they can pay back to the church.
Well, if they're making more money based on L. Ron Hubbard's teachings, I guess this behavior would be justified, right? I mean, what you had to do, I mean, were people making, was it successful? Is L. Ron Hubbard's administrative technology a successful technology for businesses?
I'm going to go ahead with a resounding no, and I will tell you why. So I think that, you know, there are a lot, like Mike mentioned, you know, Scientologists who moonlight while they're on staff at a Scientology church because...
Or just regular parishioners because they have to...
Yeah, exactly, right. You have to be able to pay, right. Not yet. Main jobs you can hold down to be able to pay for Scientology or live with Scientology in your life.
Yeah.
And so the allure of the WISE consulting companies is that they promise the ability to basically make lots of money for the staff members by, you know, spreading this technology, and therefore they're going to be able to afford their bridge, their pay for more services. Mm. It's kind of like that bubble of making money, inside money, to give more money back to the church.
Right, right, right.
And when you're on staff and you leave having made, you know,
make
like,
more money to give it back to us.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. The whole thing is just a big circle jerk back into the funds.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, I left staff, you know, having been like thrashed about and commeved, you know, committee of evidence. You guys mentioned, I heard your last week's podcast. So you guys talk about that. I had been commeved 4 times in like 3 months. And I, you know, I was coming out, and then someone offered me a job that had like an actual salary and something I could do. You know, and if you grew up in Scientology like I did, where you don't have a background in, or an education in anything other than this cult teaching, it sounds like a pretty sweet deal. But what I found out in the hypocrisy and the irony of the situation is that these consulting companies are struggling just as hard as the cult is to stay up and running, if not more so, because right. they're out there in the with like people who don't really know any better about the Scientology aspect. And that is so well hidden. So I went from being on staff making, you know, $50 to $100 a week, if we were lucky kind of thing, to, you know, oh, good, there's a salary. And I started as a supervisor doing the same thing I had done at a Scientology church, you know, while monitoring. Basically, these are the company I work for. They mostly target small chiropractic, dental, and optometric practices.
Yeah, and why is that? Do you guys know why it's predominantly chiropractic?
Mike does.
Dental. Like, why is that? So many Scientology, I mean, the only professionals I've really saw in Scientology were dentists, chiropractors.
Right.
You know, you never met like a doctor, or, you know, that went to medical school, or, you know, you rarely meet somebody really educated in Scientology.
Right. Well, the company that Julian worked for, at least the first one, is called Sterling Management.
Okay.
And Sterling Management is the godfather of Wise consulting businesses. And Sterling Management was started by a guy called Greg Hughes. And Greg Hughes was a dentist.
Okay.
A shitty dentist. Yeah. A shitty dentist who eventually had his license taken away to practice dentistry. But he started a business to sell other dentists, to begin with, on a patent that he had developed using this Hubbard technology. And I'm going to let Julian give a bit of an explanation of it, but I know a lot about this because Greg Hughes ended up being in the C organization as the watchdog committee member for Wise. And Greg, I was pretty friendly with, and he told me a lot about the business that he had begun at Sterling and how they came to be focused on dentists, chiropractors, vets, and ophthalmologists or optometrists or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was because he understood the patent and developed a patent to sell dentists, to begin with, this plan that is based on the same principle of Scientology, which is pay for a shitload of stuff in advance. Mm-hmm. Like, you lay out a program. If you've ever been to a dental office that has done one of these Wise courses, you will know instantly that you're in a Wise consulted dental practice, because what they will do is, it's not like you go in there and they say, well, you need your teeth cleaned in 6 months, mm-hmm. so let's make an appointment. Mm-hmm. They say, no, you need a plan to get you to a state of nirvana with your teeth. You need to have a 3-year program that we will do to straighten your teeth, to put on, you know, veneers, to do this, to do that, to do this, to do that. And if you pay for it all in advance, we give you a discount.
Right.
And this is the Scientology service model patent.
Wait, can I ask you a question, Mike and,
yeah.
and Julian? What is the Hubbard technology? What is the, well, just what is it? I'm just trying to understand. What is the technology you're selling me?
Okay, I'll let Julian answer that.
I'm a dentist. I'm a dentist. I'm like, you know, I want to grow my business, my dentistry practice. I'm not a Scientologist. Am I a Scientologist? Is it just Scientologist?
No. Non-Scientologist. I would say 99% nine. You know, their plan is to proselytize. They want to convert these store business owners into Scientologists eventually.
Okay. So, Julian, you come in and you sell me what technology to grow my business. What is the technology?
So I will point out, first off, I don't think any of the quote unquote consultants at these companies have any actual business skill other than they've studied Scientology business.
Hard sell.
Technology.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that stuff, as we all know, it's like, you know, the telex machines are still being used. Like, they're sending things via fax, and like old technology was built in the 50s.
Right, right.
For a modern business in 2020, let's say.
Right, right, right.
So the major selling point, essentially, so these practices are smaller mom and pop kind of shops, like a single doctor working somewhere rural. They want to grow their business, and they have somehow landed up on a call sheet for a call center where they're cold calling every dental office in a 50-mile radius of where they're going to have a seminar or an organization's going to to put on an event, kind of like a Scientology event, and they're basically trying to lure prospective people into a long conversation with a salesman, where the salesman will spend months, if needed, up to a year, slowly working this person into the point where they're, just like in Scientology, they found their ruin, the thing that's majorly wrong with their business, like they're suffering from, they can't fix, and then they give them, of course, the only solution, which is Scientology consulting tools developed by this mastermind named Hubbard, and he was such a business genius, and therefore, these are going to make your things, and the tools are simple, like, Hubbard stole a lot from everywhere, right? The guy was probably just seeing what was in fad and using it to his benefit. So the majority of it is like, you should definitely market your business. Like, you should probably have some kind of advertising campaign, which I would assume is pretty common knowledge in this day and age, right?
Right.
So the pitch is like, Hubbard has the best technology on how to advertise your company.
Well, if it's based on selling a cult to a $3 billion profitable business with tax exempt status as a religion, should I buy that?
Sure. So, well, if it got great results and the money came in afterwards, it would make sense. I would say, I'll start out with saying this. The majority of the clients that I ever saw come through any of these businesses were old, no longer continuing services, but had huge quantities of prepaid services on account, meaning they were hit up multiple times to pay for like $10,000 packages of consulting, hourly consulting, and then they would pay for it and it would sit. The money gets spent, of course, because the companies needed to survive. Yeah. But just like the church, there's these huge untold volumes of like paid for services with no actual delivering of those things. So the game is like, just like in Scientology, everything's a statistic. How much can you get in the front door? It's not do my businesses that I'm working with grow. It's how much money can I make weekly from them? How much money can I get them from them quarterly or annually?
From the actual dentist, not the dentist. Your statistic wasn't they're growing their business. I'm doing great for this mom and pop shop. So this is basically like a pyramid scheme in some way, right, Mike?
This is like Herbalife pyramid scheme, We're just trying to, just trying to make money to get more money. For the most part, these clients would be, put through the ringer of a sales pitch. Like I saw clients that would spend months being slowly worked on by like, the key salesman who would use what is basically essentially hard sell, gross kind of slimy tactics that you'd find in a really gross used car salesmanship kind of thing, to basically walk these people into spending their life savings or taking out a huge loan to pay for a year's worth of consulting. And then the results were, if you take a business and you put a little effort into marketing and you put a little effort into like hiring good staff or like, maybe you have a staff member you don't really talk to enough or they're not as great, those things should get you results. And that's kind of common sense. You don't need to pay somebody $20,000 to have them tell you you need to put an ad in the weekly newspaper for your business, or you need to have a sign out front that says that you're there. These are pretty common. And the majority of the services, as far as I could tell, were pretty canned, scripted, previously written by somebody else, copied over to somebody else's practice because they work. Like how in Scientology, everyone has to do the same services because everyone has this thing they have to fix. And yet all these businesses are being put through the same kind of machinery, regardless of whether or not they actually have those issues or need those things resolved, and kind of like the generic servicing of them to say, "Hey, yeah, we're consulting you,
right?
We're giving you valuable."
Leah, you understand that one of the complaints that professionals, even lawyers, have is that when they go to school to learn the craft of their, whether it's a dentist or a vet or a lawyer, they do not get taught how to administer their business.
Right.
And a lot of these guys are perfectly good dentists who literally open up an office and start, "I'm a dentist."
Right.
And if someone comes along and says, "Okay, look, you need to keep track of how many clients, how many patients you are serving a week, or you need to keep a list and contact those who haven't been in for 6 months, or you need to put a sign out the front, or you need to have like this simple Simon stuff," it actually does produce some results of increased revenue.
Well,
and
then
they promote that we'll take you to the sky. We'll take you now. Look, see how good our shit works?
Right.
We got you an increase of 10% of revenue over the last 6 months. We can double your revenue if you just invest in us because we have the only workable technology. The pitches are just like Scientology.
Right.
We have
because that's
answers.
It. You're selling Scientology.
It is science.
Yeah.
It is all Scientology, quote, technology.
Yeah.
Shifted over and turned into what they call secular technology by taking out any religious words.
Right.
And the exact same pattern of operation of a Scientology organization happens in what gets implemented into these dentists' office. And the reason why it's dentists, chiropractors, veterinarians, and optometrists is because they all operate on basically the same pattern. Mm-hmm. They bring in a client, customer, patient, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and they give them a treatment plan, even if it's for your dog.
Right.
Here is a treatment plan for your job. It's much more economical for you to pay for a 2-year treatment plan for your dog up front. They know that a certain percentage of those people will never show up with their dog. They've just got their money.
Right.
It's just like the people that pay in advance for Scientology and then huge amounts of money are sitting there that they've taken in and they never deliver anything for. And the same thing happens with dentists and optometrists and chiropractors and whatever. And this is the pattern of wise consulting businesses.
Right.
And it's the other element of Scientology that is a part of this that Hubbard wrote about extensively is what Julian mentioned, hard sell.
And so, Julian, you worked for this company for a year or two and just saw clients like just dropping off, right? Just it was not successful and lucrative as you had hoped, right?
Right. So my first experience was as a consultant, like obviously no actual training, no MBA to speak of, no actual business degree that would qualify me to be anyone who would talk to anyone about anything regarding their business. I could definitely tell you, you should probably have, you know, marketing campaign. You should definitely talk to your clients, call the ones that haven't been in a while, make sure they're doing okay. These are all like common courtesy things, but I have no specialty in this field. I don't know optometry or dentistry or anything beyond the point of anything. So my first task was to basically cold call old clients who had fallen off. And there were thousands of them, just file rooms filled with people who had paid for services that never got done. They just disappeared because from what I could tell now, looking back, they found out it was Scientology. Right. And their staff members rebelled, the employees. This is a crazy thing. So, you know, you guys talk about like the quote unquote PTS technology, right? Like potential trouble source in Scientology, meaning anyone who would think poorly of Scientology or any of his chapters is considered someone you have to remove from your life, right?
Yes, they're considered trouble.
Right, trouble. So you have a dentist's office where there's an employee who's like, wait a second, you guys are trying to apply Scientology to this business? I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
The consultant's job is to basically talk the doctor into firing the staff member because they're now
PTS.
Trouble. They're trouble source for the business, right?
They're
going to interfere with the Scientology going in.
Right.
So you basically have, you know, and it's very common. If you look for job, you know, like for reviews on Google from these companies, you'll see the employees will voice like, hey, what the hell is going on?
Right.
You know, this consultant came through and all of a sudden now we're all doing Scientology courses. We're being asked to go to Florida where the Scientology church is to like do more courses. And I have to apply all these things into my life. And then it becomes like a trickle of proselytization. It's like, learn about the study technology, learn about, you know, the way to happiness, learn about PTS technology to remove troublesome people in your life, and then do more Scientology, pay for more. It's just it's a slow feeder into that system. So right. I was calling these clients who had wanted nothing to do with the consulting anymore because they'd been had and scammed. And I spent probably 3 months just calling and calling and calling, cold calling, trying to get someone on the phone just to show up to be able to go. They already paid for it. They're free. It'll be technically speaking something they already said they wanted to do, right?
They're just like, now I just want to deliver what we promised, right?
not that I'm qualified to.
And they're like, yeah. No, thank you.
Right. Like, leaving that, right. No one would return my calls whatsoever. That was a bit weird. And I think eventually I got handed like a new client, somebody who's fresh into the organization. And the entire time that person came, you know, they're there for a week, the entire time, it's just every meeting you have is how do we get this guy to pay for more things? Right. The guy just spent 20 grand. He flew across country. He's in our office for 5 days. We got to wow him, ruin him, and take his money. That's the basic tactic. Right. And you have these like high power, hardcore salesmen who work as consultants because they're, you know, they're OT8 and they've trained a lot in Scientology. So they somehow are qualified to advise this business owner on their practice. But really what they're after is, you know, yeah, they want them to make more money because that means they'll get paid more money into their coffers. It's not I don't want you to do well because that's my job. It's because I need you to pay me more money so I can have a commission to buy more Scientology.
Right, right. So what happens? You making money, not making money, and then you work for another management company, a Scientology.
Yeah. So I worked there for about 2 years, the first one in Los Angeles, and it was like every staff meeting was, you know, hard sell to the staff to get more money from the clients.
Yeah.
And there were like weeks where I wasn't getting paid. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like this, we have this amazing technology and how to manage a business and grow these practices to be like exponentially wealthy and that, you know, all this wonderful stuff. And we can't pay our own fucking staff. Yeah. We can't cut a paycheck on Friday for our employees.
Right.
And it was a bit bewildering. And you know, right about that point in time, I'd had enough. I'd come from being not paid on staff to now working 40 hours a week to not get paid again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck it. We left California. We moved out of California and I ended up in Oregon and was approached by there's a company here in Oregon called Sterling Silkin Management now. It's been around for a long time and had heydays before before Scientology was kind of discovered as, you know, that Times article about what Scientology consulting and its infiltration in society. I got recruited to co-work for them and I was like, oh, I guess so. And I was a bit apprehensive because I just really, you know, I'd come from somewhere where I wasn't getting paid. And I didn't like that feeling, but I didn't really didn't know anything else. And in this little bubble of Scientology world, it's like, I guess I'll take a job where I can maybe make ends meet. And it was the same exact schematics and rigmarole. It was like, you know, we don't really have anything to speak of. There are thousands of files of people who came in, didn't like it and left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same game, no money, no pay. You know, the company had like a small call room of non-Scientologist employees where those guys would get paid because heaven forbid you don't pay them. They're going to go to the Oregon, you know, the state and go, hey, I'm not being paid by my employer. Right. And you raise the ire of the state and then I'll draw it attention. So, you know, they'd cut checks when they had to, but you know, a company of 40 people and they're only paying 6 of them every week for months on end. You're wondering like, how does anyone even in this company even surviving, let alone being able to eat food? So, same thing. And
Scientologists get, you know, like you're saying, the majority are Scientologists for a reason, right? Because, you know, Scientologists are not going to speak up because they're going to be hauled into their church, put on the lie detector, interrogated at their expense as, why are you being critical of L. Ron Hubbard's technology and you're at fault for not making money and, you know, you're responsible for the condition that you're in. And so most Scientologists working for a Scientology company would just not speak up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And coupled with that, so like, you know, the company's not being able to cut checks or keep, you know, the average employee can't say anything because they're beholden, like you said, to the cult. Mm-hmm. But every single week, the Church of Scientology is knocking on the door saying, you owe us 10% of anything you've made or delivered in the last 7 days. And those checks got cut.
Those checks got cut. Right.
Yeah,
right.
They did.
But they weren't so concerned with the employees, right?
No, not at all. And then the conversation was always like, you know, if you complained about it to your boss, it was like, the greater good. We're doing Scientology here. So, you know, look past this trivial lifetime of suffering and not being able to pay your bills and eat. And just think about the big picture where we're going to be living on whatever cosmic galaxy with Ron Hubbard doing whatever bullshit.
Right.
So just
an
insane price. So, you know, I spent 4.5 years. I quit 3 times at this company. I was talked back into going again because I was furious. I was on the road traveling for work where I'd go to offices and visit. And, you know, I'd be away from home for 4 days at a time with no paycheck. I was like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't understand how we could be so like, and it was such a dichotomy to this idea of like, we have this workable technology. It's so successful. Yet here I am suffering miserably at the hand of a company who can't apply it to themselves, let alone to their clients or whatever. And, it, you know, it was, I think it was the experience was helpful in me leaving Scientology in general, because it really just showed that like, this shit does not work. If it worked,
right,
you're fucking raging success. Every country on earth would be fucking jamming this thing into the school systems. And it would be like, it isn't. It's not a workable technology. It doesn't have any benefit to anyone other than making money for some guy.
Right. And it's funny, Julian, right, one day I was like looking around in my office and I was like, how did, Bic do it? How did Xerox do it? You know, how did Post-it? How did they do it? How did Jesus Christ? I started thinking about all the successful things, you know, in my life, just looking at everything around me going, well, they don't have L. Ron Hubbard's technology and somehow they succeeded. Huh.
Miraculously. Huh.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who are successfully married. They didn't have Scientology marriage counseling. How did they do it?
Right.
And, you know, it's crazy. It sounds so basic and fundamental. And yet when you start opening your eyes, I remember when Shannon, my little sister, was being forced to re-sign being on staff, which meant that she wasn't in a Sea Org. She was a parishioner working at a mission of Scientology. So like these little kind of offset places, they're called Scientology missions that service people not as harshly. they're like baby, right? Like they're treated with like kid gloves. They're, you know, they sign up for these little courses and, you know, these missions are filled with children running them, like my sister Shannon. And I remember when Shannon, they were criticizing her after 4 years of not making any money. And of course, most staff members who join, you know, staff in a Scientology organization, they have to live with their parents or they have to have somebody support them because they don't make enough money to pay their own bills. And so I was supporting my sister and they were, you know, had her in a room, you're going to re-sign another 4 years and they're banging the table and, you know, you're doing nothing for mankind if you quit. And, you know, but she had already served 4 years. And Shannon, it was like having somebody going through withdrawals. Like I literally had to have her in my car, I was driving her around. I was like, Shannon, you got to move on with your life, man. Like you cannot continue to do this. And she sees a, you know, homeless man. And she's like, I mean, what are we doing for this guy? I go, yeah, what the fuck are you doing for this guy in Scientology? Not a fucking thing.
Not a thing.
You never have in Scientology and you never will in Scientology. Do anything for this man because Scientology is not in the business. And this is when I'm a Scientologist, by the way. I go, because Scientology is not in the business of helping these people. And it was like watching somebody go, like literally she had to detox her brain. And that, we're not even leaving Scientology. She's just not wanting to rejoin on staff. And I was like, you guys are not even making money to sustain your lives. What kind of example are you? And the same with the Wise consultants. I used to see them pulling up or, and I'd go, look at this, poorly dressed, shitty car. And I was like, this is an example of Scientology technology at work. Are these fucking consultants for Scientology?
Every person who I've ever worked with at any of these consulting companies was always looked like they were at the point of like bankruptcy or insolvency because of the fact that their whole life hinged on this paycheck that they're never going to get, this fantastical dream of helping people do something. Yeah.
Everyone except the guy that ran it.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Right, the guy at the top. Right. The pyramid flows uphill. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, Scientology. Right. Mike, can you guys explain Wise and how it's set up? Is it, it's all under the ABLE banner or what is, there's Wise and there's some other front groups too, like Wise, right? That are,
well, Wise is its own corporate entity, ABLE. It's a separate corporation that licenses the rights to use the administrative technology of L. Ron Hubbard from, I believe, the Church of Spiritual Technology, you know, one of the other parts of the Scientology structure puzzle.
Yeah.
And they sublicense the rights to use this to these Wise consultants, and they run a thing called the Hubbard College of Administration, which is this building that is on Western Avenue in, South Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And it is a place where people go to study these courses that they have made, which are basically Scientology courses with the word Scientology taken out of them. So as Julian says, it's the PTSSP course. It's the communications course. It's the how to manage by statistics course. I mean, this is something that we should mention that is a sort of fundamental element of all things in Scientology management and wise management and consulting. Statistics. Every single person in every organization must have a statistic which measures their production on a daily basis. They are monitored to see if they're increasing their production by measure of this, whatever their statistic is. For an example, a person who is a fundraiser, their statistic is the amount of money that they take in. So if they got $10,000 this week, they're expected to get $10,001 at the minimum next week, or preferably $10,100 or $11,000 or some increase the next week. And if they do not, they then become subject to application of Scientology ethics conditions. So what happens is, on an initial basis in these doctors and dentists and chiropractic offices, mm-hmm. when someone walks in and says, okay, you need to start giving a statistic to mm-hmm. these staff members in the organization and monitoring them, on a very short range basis, that works pretty well. Mm-hmm. Nobody has been paying attention to what the staff in the organization have been doing. And now they're told, okay, if you contacted six former patients yesterday to follow up and get them scheduled for an appointment, you need to do seven today.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first week or two or three, this is an effective means of increasing the productivity of an office.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty soon it becomes oppressive. And this is where Julian starts talking about, and then the staff start getting upset because they are now under inordinate amounts of pressure, that they are being told that they have to do X, Y, and Z, and this isn't mm-hmm. what they're used to, and mm-hmm. they don't like it, and they start complaining. Some have even sued and won lawsuits on the basis that they were being having Scientology inflicted on them as a condition of their employment. But this thing of statistics is sort of the building block of all quote-unquote Hubbard management technology. That is what, quote, management technology is management, he called it management by statistics. Mm-hmm. What it really is driving people to always do more day after day, week after week, to produce more. And right. it is actually a system that has proven in the Scientology organizational world, where it is practiced in its finest form, to be absolutely unsuccessful.
Yes.
Because yes. it ultimately kills people off.
Their willingness
to keep working is eventually strained beyond limit, and they leave.
And not to mention, Mike, on top of that, as a client of these lunatic dentists who are being forced to contact, I mean, I get a thing in the mail. You know, like I tell my dentist, listen, send it to me every 6 months. I drink coffee. I like want to get my clean. I get a thing in the mail. Reminder, get clean and cleaning.
Right.
But if my dentist was calling me like Scientologists do and expected to do under L. Ron Hubbard's amazing technology, going, you need to come in. Why are you not coming in? You got to pay for your shit that might go wrong on your, you know, in your teeth and your mouth. You know, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here with this. Which is what happened with Arlo Gordon the chiropractor, the Scientology chiropractor, who had a very lucrative business at one point in California, here in Southern California. Do you know the story of him, by the way?
No. Whatever
me neither. Oh. No, I just wondered whatever happened to him, because he did have this business run by Scientologists, successful chiropractor for a long time, and then just kind of disappeared.
Probably had too much Scientology.
Well, no, it was one of those things where they constantly tried to get you in. They constantly had you prepaying, and you were like, I don't know if I'm going to need 50 adjustments. Like, does this ever end in chiropractic? You know, and it was run like a, but I was a Scientologist at the time, so it wasn't that insane. But I was like, why do I got to prepay? I got to prepay for my church services. Now I got to prepay
right.
for my chiropractor.
Right.
Anyway, I'd be interested to know whatever happened to Arlo. I mean, we should look that up and see one day, because I'd be interested to know whatever happened to him. It just kind of disappeared. But I also, Mike, want to, Julian mentioned that Time magazine article. We should also post that.
Oh, yeah. That was a devastating blow to the Wise consultant, especially here, the one in Oregon. They had like, when it came out, basically a lot of their clientele, even though they've been doing this business, if you walked into the company, you'd know it was Scientology run. There's a picture of Ron Hubbard on the fucking wall. Like, it's
right,
not,
right, right.
It's very obvious.
Right.
But like, that was all very hush hush down low.
Yeah.
This magical consulting thing. I think they started in the 80s, the business. And it was like, you know, consulting in America was like, ooh, the new way to make money.
Yeah.
And this article came out and it had their name in it. It said this company is run by Scientologists. And if they were fucked, they couldn't do anything for like, you know, a good 2 years.
Right.
And they had to like, you know, they changed their name. They had to redo their business. They had to move locations, all kinds of stuff to kind of cover it up. I will tell you this. So the thing I did mostly while working as a consultant for like 2 full years was I would travel to offices on site. And I would do 2 days in office with clientele. And these clients would spend between $7,000 and $10,000. By the way, a rate that was flexible because depending on how much you think you could bilk them for. Not a fixed pricing like Scientology necessarily, but you know, a buy now deal kind of a thing. Go on site with an office and basically train their staff to cold call harass their clientele, inactive clientele, to scheduling appointments. We go for, you know, we have to get schedule X number of appointments in a day. And the staff are on the phones on a Saturday, phone calling people. And every script and every dialogue we give them was like basic cold call, hard sell.
Right.
They answer the phone. You tell them, I'm calling from this office. This is what you need to do next. Will that be cash, check, or credit card? It's never a no answer. You can't ever say no to anything.
Right.
And we would, you know, we'd schedule 150 appointments in a day.
Yeah.
And then leave. How many of those appointments actually showed up? Not the company's problem. Not the company's prerogative to figure out whether or not they actually showed up.
Right.
You know, a $10,000 service to come in and like harass the hell out of your clientele.
Yeah.
And then maybe never make any dollars back from it. Maybe they would make some money back from it. But, you know, that was like that was their biggest service they sold. The most popular service was this on-site training a booster.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, it was to try and get their staff to like buy into the Scientology that was about to come down the pike into their businesses. And most of the time walking into an office with like, you know, 8 or 9 staff members who already have Googled Scientology and the company
you work for,
look on their faces like, this fucking guy is here to con me into some BS cult.
Right,
and you have to like, you have to like walk them off that ledge backwards into like, you know, I'm trying to be friendly. I'm a pretty social guy, you know, like try to unite as nicely as possibly can. So they don't, their guard comes down enough to follow through with my BS script that I'm following.
Right.
Get them to do this thing that they paid for that will hopefully, I don't know if they're ever going to make any money back from it, nor do I really care because I'm going to be gone tomorrow.
Right, right.
But just trying to get money out of them. And then, you know, these guys have spent $25,000 or $50,000 to come out to Oregon for a week. They're back home. They spent $10,000 more to get someone to come out to their office.
Mm-hmm.
And their staff are like mutinous. They're like, what is this bullshit?
Right, right.
And it's just, it doesn't really go, I don't think it ever went really the way it was supposed to go.
It's just a scam, obviously.
Yes.
Right, because it's not really delivering what it's promising to deliver. And I listen, the thing is with Wise and consulting companies like it, I think you guys nailed it. The only people making money are the owners, and the people who work for these companies are mostly Scientologists, and they're kind of stuck. Right.
Yep.
Because if they want to leave, they're going to be seen as enemies to their group and not looking at the bigger picture. And by the way, Arlo Gordon is still in business. He's in Santa Clarita with a 5-star rating.
Oh,
is he also giving away vaccine cards as part of his business model?
Probably.
Scientology chiropractor cures COVID.
But But let me just add one other thing that I think is really important to make note of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Wise pretends that they are not Scientology. You know, Julian's talked about this.
Yeah.
But internally within the Scientology world, the heads of these Wise consulting businesses are lauded for the number of people they get onto the bridge.
Into Scientology.
This is the major statistic that these guys promote for themselves internally within Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
We got our Wise consulting company got 150, 100, 1,000 new people into Scientology in the last year, whatever the number is. And it's always bullshit, fake anyway, but whatever. That is how they measure their success and their status as Scientologists.
Yeah, they're like Scientology traffickers, like pimps, yes. Religious pimps.
But they're seen as important people in the Scientology world because of that.
Right.
Because they bring new people into Scientology. They bring chiropractors and dentists. And the beauty of chiropractors and dentists and vets and optometrists is generally they have a revenue stream. They have money. So they're perfect candidates for Scientology to then be sold Scientology services.
Right.
So though the attrition rate is enormous, just as Julian said, you know, they may sign up and collect money from 100 vet / dentist / optometrist / chiropractors, and only 10 of them continue with any, you know, any
right.
continuing,
if they're
on
lucky.
Any continuing basis. And maybe 5 of those become Scientologists and real start paying money for Scientology services.
Directly. Yeah.
But that 5 is 5 more than all the rest of the people in the local organization have managed to get in an entire year.
Or right. a decade.
Because they can't get anybody.
Right.
They can't get shit to walk in the door of a Scientology org and get them to start paying money. The trick of this is if you can convince these people that there is something to this technology by their revenue increasing, by putting pressure on to round up your old clients and get your staff being more productive, et cetera, the pitch becomes, you see, there is a lot more technology from L. Ron Hubbard where that came from. And it will help you in your personal life.
And then those guys who do become the Scientologists, and they're like, you know, they're considered like the whales of the consulting world, are then used as public speakers at these Wise companies events to lure more people into the system. It's multi-level marketing at its finest. It is
yes.
Herbalife. It is pyramid mm-hmm. scheme. It is whatever yes. you want to call it. It's just a funnel for money, just to get somebody to make. And they're all, you know, 10% commission they get. If I'm the guy, that's what I'm working for. I'm not going for, you know, your well-being. I want your capital. I want your cash so I can buy more Scientology for myself. And that's where it's going. At the end of the day, like you mentioned, the owners of these companies doing well financially. And I will say this, maybe, yes, to some degree, but most of their money is also going back into
right,
the cult.
Scientology,
well, of
right.
course.
Right, right.
Yeah. They have
of
a fancy
course.
House and they're driving a 7 Series to like look
right.
the part.
Right.
But in actuality, they're broke as shit because 99% of their cash goes back into the cult.
Right.
Right.
And Mike, if you could put up on the website, it'd be great if you could put up the whole organization board of Scientology with Abel and Wise and where
yes.
Wise is and who's really running Wise, which is the Church of Scientology International or whatever it is. And I just think people should know and beware if you are in these businesses, if you have family in these businesses, beware of Wise and Scientology front groups who are posing as these groups that are there to help. And blah, blah, you know, you'll know. You'll just know by if you see the word statistic and graphs and because that basically that's all it is. Right, Mike?
Yes. Oh, speaking about all this reminded me of two anecdotes that I wanted to tell you about. One, I had a dentist who watched the aftermath, a local guy, and he reached out to me, and really nice guy, and I became friendly with him and his wife, and he had a very wonderful, successful dental practice here, and I started going to him, and he wanted to retire, and he was about to sell his business, and he calls me and he said, would you tell me if these people are Scientologists or not? Because I started to get a bad feeling, and it turned out absolutely they were, and he had me go and brief his, and he was so worried about his the employees,
the practice that he built and the business exactly that he built.
And the people that he was leaving in that practice, yes, who had worked, yes, for him for 30 years, that he in the end had me come and do a presentation to these people, and I was very, very straight to them. I said, look, yeah, here is what they do. This is how they do it. It's not all bad, but it's definitely different than the way that your world has been operating. And this is what they will implement statistics, and they will require you to do conditions formulas, yes, and this.
But
and
also,
that.
Mike, like, it is. It's like saying just a little bit of crack is not bad. Eventually, leading, yeah, to the destruction of his employees and what he's built, turning people into Scientologists, giving up their lives, their family, their money, everything that they have. It will eventually lead to. I'm glad you did and warned them.
Of course, and he of course did not sell to them.
Great,
and
that's a good. That's again success story.
Exactly, and then the second one was, which is very funny. Our next door neighbor at the old house that we were at was a wonderful woman who is super smart, and she is a professional in one of these professions, and she and her mother got contacted by one of the local Wise consulting groups around here called MGE.
And Do we have a list of all of these front groups under Wise, or these management groups?
I know the big ones. I'll include the big ones on there.
Okay.
MGE is one, and they're like the sort of godfathers of Wise consulting businesses in the Clearwater area. Run by an ex-Sea Org registrar called Ravain Marcus and his partner, Louis Colon. Anyway, she got roped into doing one of these courses. So she goes down, and unbeknownst to her what she was getting herself into, she comes back and she says, we were talking, she said, oh, I'm doing this course. And I said, oh, what sort of course? Oh, at MGE Enterprise. I said, MGE? She said, yeah, why? What do you know? I said, it's Scientology. She said, oh, okay. Well, this explains a lot, because these people require me to look up every fucking word that I'm reading in their stupid stuff. Like, I know what these words mean. Why are they making me look this stuff up? I said, well, that's study technology.
Right.
She said, well, it's a bunch of bullshit, and I'm not doing it. And I told him I wasn't going to do it. I said, okay, well, we'll see what happens. Next day, she comes back. She says, well, I said, what happened? I got routed to this guy who's the boss of the company for an ethics interview. I said, what? Yes, because I refused to look up the words. And she said, so they were really going hardcore on me about who am I talking to? Where did I get negative information about L. Ron Hubbard? Why am I an anti-technology, study technology?
Wow.
And she said, so they asked me, do I know anybody that has ever said anything bad about L. Ron Hubbard? And she said, well, I live next door to Mike Rinder.
Oh, my God. And?
She was like, done. She was
like,
out of there.
Right.
Bye.
They kicked her out, Mike. They kicked her out. Interesting.
Yep.
That is insane. That's insane. They won't even take her money, Mike. That's how bad you are. That's how bad you are.
That's me.
Just by knowing
that's
your
the
name.
Power of the
exactly.
SP.
Exactly.
You uttered the phrase that's like instantly boots.
Yes.
Exactly.
As a quick note, too, I just want to, I think, I'm pretty sure that the reason that these consulting companies have so much money on file that's never delivered is they also have very specific contracts that don't allow for clients to get their money back, just like the church does.
Just like Scientology, right?
They have these BS, super complicated legal forms that they sign saying they can't ask for a refund without arbitration or all kinds of bullshit. Also, so these, you know, imagine being spending $50,000. And then you're broke, and now you're like, "Fuck, I'm in it for a year at least. I'm never doing this again. Learn my lesson, but I can't get my money back."
Isn't that insane? You would think that somebody would take issue with this, Mike, who regulates businesses in the United States of America here, but they don't.
Nope.
Okay. All right. A side note. Julian, could you do me a favor and grab one of those shoes that you have back there on your shelf?
One of those shoes?
Which one? These ones?
No, then the what do you got?
Shoe rack?
There? You got there Air Jordan? What you got there?
Is this just a pair of shoes?
No. Like an Air Jordan. You have an Air Jordan?
Oh, you want
there?
A pair of Jordans?
Uh-huh.
I don't have any. Oh, well. Here
you go. My God, there's like 50 pairs of shoes, sneakers back there.
Okay, now, so Mike, so I need to talk to you two about something. This is an old lady moment for everybody. Yeah, sit down. No, bring it back. Sit down. So Mike, you see the sneaker here that Julian has here?
Yes, I see. Very nice. Very nice.
Well, that's not the exact shoe, but that I'm talking about. You know, because we're on social media, I keep seeing the shoe. And I'm like, oh, those are cute. Maybe I should start wearing those. Being I'm getting older, can't wear heels all the time. So I go, let me take some snapshots of some picture of some shoes, some sneakers. They're high tops. Okay?
Yeah.
So I take, oh, I'm get a pair of black and white, red and black, blue and white. I'm like, I'm going to go to Foot Locker. Go to Foot Locker. I go, hi, sir. Show him my pictures. I go, I'd like these shoes. Size 6, please. I show him. He starts laughing at me. He goes, that's cute. I go, that's cute? What's cute? He goes,
you need to go to one of those stores where there's lines outside waiting.
Mike and Julian. Okay. He goes, literally verbatim, babe, you need a sneaker guy. And I go, Foot Locker doesn't classify
doesn't
as a sneaker.
Sneaker guy.
Thought this was the ultimate hookup here. He goes, no, honey, come on. You need a sneaker guy. You're not going to get these here. And I go,
Flight Club in Los Angeles.
What the fuck is this? I had no idea. You can't just walk in and get Nike Air Jordan. You can't just walk in and get sneakers anymore.
The reason you saw them on Instagram and because they're like the that's like the shoe of the day. Like it's everyone wants the same stuff. So like you can't find it.
Right.
Who needs a sneaker guy?
You got
everybody
a drug guy,
that wants
you got
to
a
be
lawyer,
cool.
You got a sneaker guy.
Exactly. Your hookup.
You got a plug.
Then he told me, he goes, do you not see, like, on Melrose, do you not see people lined up? You got to join a lottery. You got to scan this thing on your phone or get yourself a hookup with a sneaker guy. I went to another store because I thought maybe he's just bullshit. I go to another. I go, hi, I'd like these retro sneaker. I mean, Air Jordan. And he, too, laughed at me and said, babe, you need to get, he didn't say babe. He said, you need to get, somebody to get you these shoes. You can't just. Then I find them online. So I order 2 pairs. I go, okay, I'm going to get my black and whites, my red and blacks, right? They email me back. Oh, no, you can only order 1 pair. What is this regulation on sneakers?
Supply and demand.
So
it's the hot commodities. Footwear in the world is like a currency. Shoes are
it's
really
insane.
Cool.
It's a sort of an NFT.
Yeah.
I don't know what
NFT.
That is, Mike, but Jesus Christ, it's annoying. I'm trying
it
to be
really
cool,
is.
Trying to be up with the kids.
Yeah, well, you have to go stand in a line for that, Leah.
Well, that's not
in fact, Hedley and I were at Tyson's Corner Mall, and there was this store there that had nothing in it. Like, it was just a big empty store, but it had a line of at least 200 people outside sneaking its way for sneakers.
Mike.
They have, like, 5 pairs in there.
Anyway, I need a sneaker guy. Apparently, I need a hookup.
Xbox Series X and Air Jordan 1s are like impossible to find.
Yeah,
that's
there
insane.
You go.
Our producer's nodding her head. I had no idea that you couldn't just simply walk into a store and buy sneakers.
A shoe store of all places, too.
A sneaker store.
And that he said, that's cute. When he said, that's cute. Yeah, no, you're not going to get those. Anyway, old lady moment for everybody.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, listen, I love you guys. Julian, thank you so much for, again, for your willingness to participate in continuing to expose the scam that is Scientology.
My repentance.
Yes.
Well,
it's all our repentance. In some respect.
Thank you.
But you have such great stories, and you have such a great way of telling them too.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of weird shit.
And you've been, and listen, you've been through a lot, as most people involved in Scientology and cults like it, you know, have been through a lot. So thank you for continuing to speak up. And I'm sure I'll get a text from you soon, an email from you soon saying, hey, you know what else we should talk about? So I'll wait for that.
Okay. Once I have that
ruminate.
Feeling of like, holy shit. It's like a sense of injustice where like, I did something I shouldn't have done. Yeah. I got to make it a little bit more right in the world.
Well, thank you for doing that. And that just separates you from them. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you guys are here doing this, because this is awesome. I appreciate you guys doing this. Keeps me motivated also.
Thank you, baby. And when you do visit, let's say goodbye to that beer.
This is like a life move. This is like a...
And bring me some sneakers. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, right.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you all for listening, until we speak next time. Bye, Mikey.
Bye-bye.